time for the North Shore Sports Desk on MSO News Sports. We bring you the latest in high school sports news from all across the North Shore. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the K-Band Savings Bank, Cranny Self Storage in Danvers, and Sun and Air, the North Shore's premier golf practice facility. And now your hosts, Dom DeCastro and Nick Kukuru.
North Shore Sports Desk team of Nick and Nick back at it here. August. What's going on, Nick? Happy August.
Yeah, exactly. Happy August. No, not much at all. Little to nothing.
That's true. The dreaded August. We always have talked over the years about which is worse, March or August. And, March, things come up, things come up in every month, all 12
it's
months.
Close. March, I can save stuff from the winter season that I didn't get to yet. I can always do them in March.
Yeah, postseason
August,
wrap-ups.
Next week. More so next week is when even all the kids stuff ends and you got a 3-week break until school starts back up.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting time.
Yeah, they're starting
to
end.
Not interesting time.
Right. They're starting to end because, school's coming and they don't want to schedule a camp in late August.
Exactly. All the kids' sports all the sports that my kids are doing are either ending this week or next week.
Yeah. Yeah. You have that 2-week layoff and get ready for school and here you go. But we're here. So we do have a job to see what's going on in the world of sports on the North Shore. And you know what? The world hasn't stopped. There is some things going on and there's actually a super thing going on.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.
Time for the Super Sub Super Performance of the Week.
Yeah, that's right. We got Marblehead's Connor Cronin. We when you think of the word super, we go Connor Cronin might come up in your head maybe, right?
Yep.
Marblehead standout. He is committed to Brown University football. I remember, Nick, he's following in the footsteps of Will Quigley back in the day in 2011.
He went to Brown. Oh, that's right. Yep.
Along with, I think, Mike Walsh from Swampscott. They were rivals.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were two best players in the NEC, and then they became teammates.
Yeah. So we remember Connor for his exploits. I mean, he just lit it up in that Super Bowl as a junior.
As I said, you're a legit athlete when you go from he was a bruising, grinding out a good, damn good one, back as a sophomore. And then he turns into a slot receiver, wide receiver as a junior and lights it up there too.
Yeah.
I think they kind of used him both ways a little bit this year too. He can line up in the backfield. He's got he's just one of those next level athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. Brown University right down in Rhode Island. He'll call home. And congrats to him. That's amazing. He's let's not forget Brown academics.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be real smart too.
Ivy League. So it's the real deal. He's the real deal, as we know. He really had a historic performance in that Gillette Stadium Super Bowl in 2021. That would be right because last fall was 22 and they
one
lost
of the most
two.
The most perfectly one of the most perfectly executed plays I've ever seen. Remember they had that from the back angle, his touchdown. He got three perfect blocks. He needed to make one man miss. Of course, he made a miss.
They
ran everybody. Yeah, you couldn't execute a play more perfectly than that.
And I think he told us on the North Shore Sports Desk that he looked at the camera in the stadium to see if anyone was chasing him.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be a great feeling if you're able to look up at the camera at Gillette.
You're let's dial it back and think of this moment, right? and where am I? What am I doing? But they win the Super Bowl for the first time in Coach Jim Rundlap's era. He finishes up with a solid senior year last year, right?
Yes.
They fell short in the playoffs and a loss to
they lost round of eight, I want to say, to Milton.
Yeah. Old friend Steve Dombowski.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's that. That's the Super Sub, Super Performance of the Week. Connor's commitment to Brown. We will be absolutely dialing him up in the fall, see what's going on there. And people around the North Shore can dial up Super Sub any day they want for the best cheesesteaks on the North Shore at 978-927-4788. They got casual catering too. Fall's coming pretty close. And we know there'll be some holiday thoughts coming up soon before you know it. And Paul will be there, Paul Guanci and the gang, ready to cater your parties, casual cater. All right, let's take a break. And on the other side, we got two guests. It's going to be a lot of fun because we have two very successful coaches on. Mike Levine is going to be coming up next, and he's the coach of the Beverly Salem Legion squad that made another tremendous run in the state finals in Massachusetts, falling just shy of the ultimate goal of winning that again like they did in 2021. And then after him, catching up with the coach of the state champion Newburyport girls lacrosse team. Just an absolute juggernaut.
Yes.
So two guests, our Savings Bank, Cape and Savings Bank segment, and then a North Shore sports report to close things out. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self-Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self-Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self-Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self-Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self-Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Sports Desk team of Nick and Nick here, opening up with our first guest of the day, Newburyport girls lacrosse coach Catherine Batchelder, coming off about 4 or 5 weeks ago the crazy state championship game where they beat Norwell by 3-1 Division III. Hey, coach, how you doing?
Great. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So we talked earlier in the year, like mid-season, and we're like, hey, you guys are putting it together. Things are going well. The girls are accepting every challenge. And lo and behold, they did the same thing in the postseason, kept that success going. Number one seed, finished the job. Had to have been a great feeling.
It was a great feeling. I mean, I think, you know, people have asked me what the word to describe it was, and it definitely was relief. You know, just wanting to really give this year's team, you know, such a special season, and wanting really to see them succeed, knowing the kind of kids they are, knowing the seniors who lost out on their freshman year due to COVID, and just really wanting them, you know, really trying to push them to reach the height of their, what they could achieve. And they did it. And it was great. It was really a great feeling to watch them do it. But a feeling of relief as well to know that, you know, they got it done.
Absolutely. Catherine, take us to that state final. That sounded like a great game against Norwell. I was impressed with the way you guys finished. I know, and I had been on teams like this before, sometimes when you kind of roll through everybody and then you find yourself in a fourth quarter dogfight, you know, you're not used to being in those situations, but you guys handled it perfectly.
Yeah, you know, we did end up, we had a couple losses at the end of the season, which I think put us into a pretty good position to, you know, to realize that, you know, we had to fight through adversity. And while we didn't win those games, they were great, great games that we learned a ton in. And then we got into playoffs and we did roll a little bit, and we had played Norwell earlier in the season and beaten them by 10 or 12 or something like that. But we knew they were a really different team, and the team that showed up on that Sunday was a very different team. And it was, a bit of a dogfight. You know, they have a great player in Maddie McDonald, who we had a hard time stopping, made some adjustments to slow her down. And, you know, our girls were able to get some momentum from some of those defensive stops.
Yeah. And you know, the captains are always a big part of this ride. Let's walk through their contributions this whole season and how they finished their career slash if you got younger captains coming back.
Yeah, this group of seniors, but especially this group of captains, has always been a really special crew. They started playing together when they were really young, and they just brought that same energy and passion to high school. And though the three captains specifically made three game-changing plays to three game-changing plays to really that stand out, that changed the game for us and secured the victory for us. And it, you know, just couldn't have happened to three better girls to make plays when it mattered that changed the course of the game for us. Coming back, we have a really strong junior class. I have six juniors and four of them are going to be captains. All six of them could have been captains. They're a great group. They're really, really tight. And they, you know, I'm looking forward to what they can do their senior year. Another pretty special crew.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Coach, you know, take us, you know, back to that postseason. Like you said, you rolled through the first few rounds. Talk about kind of building that momentum, how you guys were able to, you know, kind of put the pedal to the metal like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've really worked all year on trying to play fast. I'm fortunate to have some great athletes and some really great lacrosse players that we could push to push a more up-tempo style. And we really wanted to kind of catch teams by surprise. I was fortunate to have Anna Affalter, who takes our draw and wins. She had about 70% win percentage. Either she won it or she got it to the circle, and the circle won it, which is it's just a huge advantage in a game. And we were able to really push pace from there. And that showed in the first couple of playoff games. And then in the final four game against Foxborough, you know, that was our first bit of adversity in a couple games. They were a tough team and they played a completely different style. They were really slow. They would get the ball, they would slow it down, and they scored on almost every possession they had. You know, so it was a back and forth game for a bit until we were able to really secure the draw and go on a little bit of run to give us some distance. But two different styles of play that really, you know, kind of hit the head on that final four game.
Yeah, and that's the same team that eliminated Pawtucket, I think, in the round of eight, right?
Yes, and they play similar styles, so it was they were in a real dog match for sure.
Yeah, that ruined the Cape Ann League semifinal that could have happened, and you know, clearly top two teams around. You know, the area for this division, Newburyport, Pawtucket, for sure. I mean, number one seed Newburyport, number five seed Pawtucket. But outside of that, you know, it's, and then there were a couple more in the top 10 there. Swampscott 9, Essex, North Shore 10. So it's kind of like a good little mix there. You got four North teams, you got some South representation. It doesn't seem like any region is sort of overwhelmingly dominating anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and then you go down to Division Four and you've got Ipswich, who made it to the finals, and Manchester Essex, who was in the Final Four. And, you know, I think for the Cape Ann League, all of the teams made it to postseason play, which is impressive. I think it just shows the growth of the game in our area and the dedication of everyone who starts in youth and the, you know, all the youth directors and all the youth coaches and the parents that are, you know, willing to drive their kids everywhere. And it starts showing in the high schools as well.
Kathy, you mentioned those with that end of the regular season, those two losses. Looking now, you played the Division II state champ, who I think had the best power rating in the entire state, and the New Hampshire Division I state champ. So, I mean, that's a serious state tournament tune-up.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame possibly has like the best playoff percentage in the world. They were an unbelievable team. They were just beautiful to watch, and a really, you know, just really well coached. And it was a great challenge for our girls. You know, they definitely went out there. They played a little scared, and they learned a lot from it because they admitted, you know, everything we saw, they admitted to in the locker room. And they realized that, you know, they missed an opportunity to go out there and just compete. And that was really the word we just kept using towards the end of the season. You know, you have to go compete. And now it's do or die. And then Bedford, another really well-coached team with a lot of talent. And, you know, it didn't go our way that day in terms of goals, you know, for and against. But I thought our team came back after Notre Dame and just, you know, competed really, really hard against a great team. And we were actually, you know, pretty encouraged after that game to see how they responded. And we knew we would go into the postseason stronger from those two games.
Coach, what's it like, scheduling for next year? You know, I mean, you're probably thinking of a little bit about who we're going to get on our non-league schedule, who's going to keep my girls competitive. And not to mention, you want to have a strong schedule, obviously, for the rankings. So what goes into that scheduling process? I mean, I'm sure it's like a sit down with the AD and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the AD, we have a phenomenal AD in Newburyport, Kyle Hodgson, and he understands that, you know, better than anybody. So he starts to, you know, reach out to teams, and we really build off of the year before. Sometimes teams won't play us, which is, you know, a little bit too bad. You know, we have some competitive games, and then, you know, either, you know, they go in a different direction, or so we'll try to play Notre Dame again for sure. We'll play Bedford again for sure. We played Portsmouth, New Hampshire. That was a really good competitive game. And we'll try to get some more competitive mass teams as well. I really like to kind of back end our schedule with that, and, you know, put some of those tough games in the last 2 weeks so that we can gear up into playoffs.
Yeah, Dawn just mentioned the power rankings. 2 full years with the power rankings in the statewide playoffs. What are your thoughts? How have they worked for you guys in the that time span?
Yeah, I mean, they've worked for us. It's interesting. Lacrosse, we always had power rankings as a little bit of a smaller sport. And when we only had two divisions, everything was done through power rankings and based on like opponents. And so we had a little bit of a different approach to the tournament and our seeding meetings than I think other sports did. So the power rankings have always been part of our makeup of our team and our schedule. But I think it's a lot of fun. You know, I think it's fun that, like you said, there could have been an opportunity for two Cape Ann League teams to play in the Final Four, which is, great for fans, great for the game, great for growing the game. I think it's worked out well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, looking ahead, you know, final question, these girls, you getting a lot of multi-sport athletes, or is there a mix of multi-sport and then totally lacrosse focused girls on the team for next year?
All years, I have all multi-sport athletes. Newburyport has a really high participation rate for sports, which is phenomenal. I have volleyball players in the fall, cross country runners, field hockey players, soccer players. And then the winter, I have mostly basketball players and some indoor track. I have a skier. And I love it. You know, they're able to kind of keep their sticks in their hands as much as they can through the fall and the winter. But they come to lacrosse every spring refreshed and energized and ready to play and, you know, get back outside after being indoors for whatever their sport was, except for skiing. And, it's great to have the multi-sport athletes. I love that they get exposure to different coaches throughout the year. They have, exposure to different teammates. It's not the same group of girls. So every year, every team is always really different, different personalities. And that's what makes coaching a lot of fun.
Great. Yeah. So it's like, we'll see what the 2024 team brings. Excitement for sure. Yep. Defending the championship will be everyone's target, obviously. So. Best of luck with that, Coach Batchelder of Newburyport Girls Lacrosse. Thanks for joining us on the North Shore Sports Desk for this little summer recap of the great season that was.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. You too. Thanks.
Bye now.
I'm Mary Ann Smith, president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We are proud to sponsor the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Year. Whether it's football, field hockey, tennis, soccer, or any other sport, when a student athlete strives for excellence, it inspires the whole community. The team at Cape Ann Savings Bank in Gloucester, Rockport, and Manchester-by-the-Sea always give their best, and we're happy to honor the student athletes and good sports who do too.
Cape Ann Savings Bank, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self-Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self-Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self-Storage today at 978-777-9193.
This is Bob Montgomery, and when hunger calls, North Shore residents must pay a visit to the New Brothers Deli in downtown Danvers. They're open daily for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They have everything from eggs to meat to fish, and it's all made from scratch with the finest fresh ingredients. New Brothers Deli has specials that are sure to fill you up and satisfy. Kenny and Carrie invite you to visit the New Brothers Restaurant and Deli at 31 Maple Street in the middle of downtown Danvers. Call 978-750-0100 for more information.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street, in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Back at it here on the North Shore Sports Desk, team of Nick and Nick. Actually, 104.9 just entered my mind, Nick. I was going to say it again. I mean, that's just, we're just so done with that. But repeat guest here for our next guest on the show, Mike Levine, the coach of the Beverly-Salem American Legion baseball team, fresh off another successful run through the district and into the state tournament. What's going on, Mike?
Not too much. How are you guys doing today?
All right. So what was it this year? Third place finish in the state, you know, like, that's that for this team. That's underachieving.
Yes, absolutely. we had sights on other things. Unfortunately, they didn't work out. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mike, take us, you know, to that state finals tournament. Was it last week? I know you guys got rained out. It was in limbo when we were recording the show, but I had found out after we recorded, you guys got rained out, had to move to the next day. So how did it end up?
Well, we had our number one pitcher come back from Bermuda, and he pitched well, Noah Guansey, but, we just couldn't get the right hit at the right time. We hit the ball very, very well, but was right at them. So if it was 5 feet one way or the other, it may have been a different story, but, we came back at the end, we scored three runs off their pitcher, but, again, just not enough.
And that's undefeated Franklin, right? That you guys are playing in that?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
They go on to win it all, or?
I'm not sure. It actually didn't matter because in the state tournament, because Shrewsbury is hosting the regionals, the top, if Shrewsbury won it or came in second, the top two teams were going anyway. So Franklin, if they played that last game, I'm sure they won because Shrewsbury didn't matter to them because, you know, they're hosting, they're already in. And I don't even know if they played the game. So that regional starts this coming week, the 3rd of August is when that starts. So, we fell short. We were looking forward to going again, but unfortunately, Franklin was a buzzsaw.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, was that third straight year in that state semifinal tournament? I mean, just take us to the collective, three runs that you had. How do they compare? How are they different?
The three runs. I thought you about the three runs we had against Franklin. the first year was a little bit different because we were coming off of COVID in 2021. And because the high school season started so late and ended late, there wasn't enough time to get all the games in in our district. So whoever won the first eight games, the first eight games was really what counted. So we were 7-1, and nobody else had that many wins. So we went automatically to the state tournament. And you know, that was, you know, it was different. You know, you didn't know what to expect. That was our first year. Last year we went, we did win the district in a playoff format because it was the traditional, season that we played all our games. And then they, had a district eight, tournament, and we ended up beating Lowell to go to the States last year. And this year was the exact same thing. We came in second in the league, so we ended up with a bye, and then we ended up playing Peabody, and then we beat them, and then we went on to play Lowell again, and three times a charm. We beat Lowell for the first time this year after two other attempts, and we went on to the States. So a little bit different each season, but you know, they were all special.
Yeah, and when you look at that collective run, coach, there must be, you know, players that have been there the whole way. You know, the 20 kids that were there in 1, 2, and 3 this
actually,
year.
Yeah, there actually were. I had three guys from 2021: Noah Guansey, Logan Petrosino, and Josh Demers. All three, actually, that year they were double rostered, so they were on the junior team as well as my team. And then when we got to the States, I decided to bring them up to give them a chance to see what was going to happen. And actually, all three of them played a huge role. Logan played a huge role the whole season. We brought him up right away, and the other two came in the States. And Guansey had a couple of hits. He pitched. Josh played third base, so we you know, we let them play. And last year, obviously, those three were back. And then this year I had a bunch of the guys that were back from last year. So, yeah, they all got to a chance to see and get a taste of what this is all about.
Are all three still eligible too? I know Guansey and Petrosino definitely are.
Yes, they are. Josh is aging out. He'll be 20 this coming year. So, yeah, he'll age out.
Wow, just bring him back. And
well, something, if I had 17 Josh Demers, you know, things might be different. Yeah. He is, he's a solid player. He's a solid kid. And I really enjoyed working with him the last 3 years.
Wow. So is that the case where everyone can come back outside of him?
We lose, I think, 7 that age out. And yeah, so the other 11 are age eligible to come back. So Rocco Ryan, Riley Fennerty, Jack Doyle, Noah Guansey, Logan Petrosino, Noah Staffier, all age eligible to come back next year.
Yeah. I mean, that's just no slouch too. I mean, you had, you know, Guansey, saying the Salem News here, 3 wins, 1.98 ERA. Is Fennerty back?
Yep, he's backed as well.
Yeah, he's got another, I mean, you know, 3 victories and a low ERA, 1.89.
Correct. Jordan O'Malley is another one who actually he's transferring to Salem this year. He's leaving Essex Tech. He's going to go play in Salem. And yeah, he's back. He was 4-0.
Nice.
Nice.
Bring the band back together.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, I know you had that big tournament too this season up in Beverly. Take us through how that went and the other teams that were in there.
Yeah, that was a great experience. You know, during the winter, I was talking with Kent Wheeler, who coaches the Marblehead team, and we were just trying to figure out, you know, how can we get more games for these kids? You know, again, we're still competing with travel ball. How can we get more games? How can, you know, we do something different? And we were both talking about going up to Old Orchard Beach, Maine, to play in, I guess it's a travel ball tournament. It's called Firecracker Series. And then I decided to reach out to Frank Vaccaro at Shrewsbury just to see if he'd be willing to play a game, whether we go down there or in Worcester or he comes up here. And when I reached out to him, he said he wanted to do it. He said, but you know something, how about getting a few other teams? So he reached out to Leominster. He reached out to Milford. So we ended up getting them. So I had Marblehead. We talked. He said he'd be interested in doing it. And then I reached out to Russ Steves at Peabody, and he said, yeah, he'd be in. And when we were down in Shelby 2 years ago, I got friendly with the guys from Maryland and reached out to them. And I asked him, you know, would be willing to come up. And he said, absolutely. So we had a team from Maryland. And then last year, it was a guy originally from Beverly. He was here in town with his wife. I think they were looking for a place for his mother-in-law. And his wife got in a very serious car accident. And he called me up and said, I have a 15-year-old son. Would you be willing to let him practice with you guys and just make it a normal summer for him? And I said, absolutely. I said he could practice, but I don't know if we could get him in any games. But he was 15. The junior schedule is almost like a practice schedule before you get into the state tournament, the district tournament and state tournament. So I said, why not let him play? I gave him a uniform, let him play. And when his wife was well enough to go home to Colorado, I told him about this and he said, I'm definitely in. So he came all the way out from Colorado to play. Because when he went back, Legion isn't a big thing out in Colorado. They have a handful of teams that participate. And he started his own program. And he said, I'm coming. I've got a junior team. I got a senior team, because we actually did a junior tournament too with Marblehead. And it was very good. I ran a dinner for all the teams on Friday night at the Post. I brought in Paul Guansey and his super sub crew. And I fed all the kids. I got t-shirts for all the kids and coaches. And it was a good weekend of baseball. Unfortunately, Sunday it rained, but we got three games in. Everybody got three games in, and it was very interesting playing some good teams from around the state and down in Maryland. And they all asked me, "Are you going to do it again next year?" So it's on the table.
Too bad you couldn't bring any Philadelphia-based teams to show them what a real cheesesteak tastes like.
Yeah, absolutely.
From Super Sub. And of course, we're all over that because we love Paul. He's a sponsor and our friend.
Yeah, Paul's a great guy.
Yeah. So, Mike, one of the things that a summer coach contends with, excuse me, is competing with the AAU or any kind of week travel things that come up or showcases that these kids think they need to go far and beyond and to attend. But your guys, this core in Beverly Salem, they really seem to believe, they obviously believe in the power and the prestige of American Legion baseball. Because I remember in high school in the mid-90s, it was incredibly prestigious. It was way more competitive than the high school season. And, these kids are buying in. It seems like you're getting the participation and the commitment and you're playing good baseball.
It always helps when you win. We had 36 kids in the program this year. I got more calls after the teams were picked to, tell me about the program. How can I participate? And I said, well, it's next year. We're full. So I'm getting people hearing and seeing. The travel ball AAU stuff is difficult to compete with that. What I try to do in the wintertime is run a clinic so they can work out every Sunday from Thanksgiving till tryouts. And then this past year I paid part of a fee to go to Mike Boyle's strength and conditioning and then picking these teams. One of the things that we try to do with our program, and I know Shrewsbury does it, and I think Leominster does, some of these other real good teams who have to compete with these guys as well, we promote the team atmosphere. So when you're doing showcases and travel ball, a lot of that is basically showcasing. You're showcasing yourself, hopefully in front of college scouts. And it's all about you. So if you go 4-for-4, but the team loses, no one cares. If you throw a two hitter and you still lose 1-0, nobody cares. If you've lost. So here, you've got kids that are playing. It's a team thing. And I was thinking about this morning because I was hoping you'd bring this up. I think this coming year, I want to relate it to when you were 12 years old playing in Williamsport. Okay, you all came together as a team. It's not, it's not about you. It's about the team. And And talking to some college coaches, that's kind of what they look for now. I mean, they can get the metrics. They can see who's real good, and they can read all about that. And you don't need to go to all these showcases. If you're good, the coaches are going to find you. But what they like about Legion baseball is that you play as a team. You participate as, you know, if you need everybody. You got second and third with one out in the top, bottom of the seventh, and you need a run. How are you going to get that run over? How are you going to get that run in? You know, you're going to move the base runners, or are you willing to bunt? Are you willing to, you know, try to get a sacrifice fly, hit the ball the other way? Situational hitting. Do you do that in travel ball? I don't know. I think when my son played back in 2004, they probably did it that way because it was different. But now I don't think they do it that way. I think it's all about the kids, you know, trying to showcase themselves in front of scouts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big part of it. You know, you see any, you know, parents posting things. Look at this AAU game. And it's just all about making videos of their kid and then trying to get a compilation together and go to the next step. And they might not learn those values a team, you know, and especially playing for your town. The AAU teams, you don't play for a town.
Nope.
You play for whoever you send a check to and that organization. You know, Beverly-Salem is not just one town, but two towns. So it's impressive to see these two towns come together as well.
Yeah. Well, just remember, we actually have three other places to recruit from. Danvers, I got Tyler O'Neill from Danvers this year. That's where some of the calls were coming from some Danvers people, that because there is no Legion program there. And, you know, hearing about what we've done, and, you know, I've gotten phone calls. Hamilton Wenham, I'm still trying to get my foot in the door there with some people. And Manchester Essex is another one that I recruit from. Unfortunately, we're not able to get those guys. But, you know, I'm not going to quit and give up on it. Trying to get more.
Yeah. Yeah, there was plenty to draw from there. A couple state championships under their belt with those good players there. Yeah. Mike Levine, Salem Legion Baseball, Beverly-Salem Legion Baseball, another great run, third place in the state of Massachusetts. And we appreciate you coming on the North Shore Sports Desk once again. I'm sure we'll be chatting in 2024.
I like that.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Don.
All right. North Shore Sports Desk. Coming up next, our Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week segment.
I'm Mary Ann Smith, president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We are proud to sponsor the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Year. Whether it's football, field hockey, tennis, soccer, or any other sport, when a student athlete strives for excellence, it inspires the whole community. The team at Cape Ann Savings Bank in Gloucester, Rockport, and Manchester-by-the-Sea always give their best, and we're happy to honor the student athletes and good sports who do too.
Cape Ann Savings Bank, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
This is Peter Nicolakopoulos, owner of Pomodori Roast Beef and Pizzeria. Come check out our newest location, Pomodori's in Newburyport at 192 State Street. We have a beautiful restaurant with excellent pizzas, tender roast beef sandwiches, fried haddock and clams, and the best calzones around. We also offer catering for lunch and dinner events. Pomodori has a long history of supporting the local community. Visit our newest Pomodori's in Newburyport. Details at PomodoriPizzeria.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This is Bob Montgomery, and when hunger calls, North Shore residents must pay a visit to the New Brothers Deli in downtown Danvers. They're open daily for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They have everything from eggs to meat to fish, and it's all made from scratch with the finest fresh ingredients. New Brothers Deli has specials that are sure to fill you up and satisfy. Kenny and Carrie invite you to visit the New Brothers Restaurant and Deli at 31 Maple Street in the middle of downtown Danvers. Call 978-750-0100 for more information.
It's Nick and Nick.
I honestly can't even tell the two of you apart half the time because I don't go by height or age. I go by amount of pain in my ass.
North Shore Sports Desk.
We're back at the North Shore Sports Desk. This is the Cape Ann Savings Bank student athlete of the week segment. Nick, we are only at the time of this recording when it airs 2 days away from heading down to the bank. We went there post pandemic, right? We've been there. I think we
have. Last year we did. The year before we did too.
Yeah. So we
2022 and 2021. So it was only 2020 where I we did it. I remember we had all six of the kids on Zoom at the same time.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And in 22 of August, were we there? Did we do a live show in August 2022?
No, I think we did the Zoom show. Again. Okay. We were there a lot. We were there.
Yeah. Okay. So we will be down there nonetheless, no matter what our history. I think, Nick, half of our tenure, you and I, like 11 years or so, is trying to figure out what we've done in the past. Like this conversation right now, if we were having it, if we're talking about it 3 years from now, we would be like, what did we say back then on August? Like we just don't remember clearly anything we do.
Yep.
But what I do remember is the bank has let us in. So we're going to be down on Main Street in Gloucester at the Cape Ann Savings Bank, talking to those six wonderful athletes, getting videos. So we will be posting them on MSO News Sports the following week sometime throughout the week. I think that's how they do it. They like stagger the post, right? Mm-hmm. Post here, post there, because we give them a lot of content.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, we'll have the Rock Porters there, Manchester Essex winners, and the Gloucester winners. And we'll talk to the bank too. So it's a good day, great day, honoring those athletes. And we'll send them, the bank's going to give them a check. Kelly Media will take care of them as well. Nice plaques. Oh, got to get down there this week. That reminds me. Yeah. Get to Beverly to pick that up. And maybe I'll give that task to you since you're only 15 minutes and I'm
45. Yeah, I don't have a long drive.
All right. Well, that's good. Actually, Nick, just rattle off the names of the kids we'll be interviewing that day. That'd be great.
Yeah. So from Gloucester, we got Aria Caputo, field hockey, and Max Littman, who's a distance runner. Rockport, we have Francesca Twombly. She's a three-sport captain. And Michael Murphy, who's a three-sport captain. For Manchester Essex, we have Sam Mathanis, three-sport captain, and Hadley Lewandowski, field hockey, lacrosse.
Cool. Perfect. Good crew. Six of them. Love it. We will be there on Saturday, August 5th. Look for those posts to come out the following week, the week of the 7th. All right, let's take a break and wrap things up on the other side with our North Shore Sports Report.
This is Peter Nicolakopoulos, owner of Pomodori Roast Beef and Pizzeria. Come check out our newest location, Pomodori's in Newburyport at 192 State Street. We have a beautiful restaurant with excellent pizzas, tender roast beef sandwiches, fried haddock and clams, and the best calzones around. We also offer catering for lunch and dinner events. Pomodori has a long history of supporting the local community. Visit our newest Pomodori's in Newburyport. Details at pomodoripizzeria.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
North Shore Sports Desk finishing up the show. Dr. Castro and Nick Cooper are back at it for one more segment. Nick, it's been a week. What's been going on in the world of Bishop Fenwick and MIAA? Anything new you're hearing?
Not much. I know they got an appeal hearing, August 8th, I believe. They're appealing. There's some sort of MIAA. I don't know if it's officially an appeal, but they're going in front of the MIAA for some sort of hearing.
Yeah.
Seeing if they can get the punishment. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they do. I believe they said that meeting will be an executive session, though, so we might not know what is said or how it goes.
Yeah, and a reminder, it's a postseason ban for the 2023-2024 athletic season for that school in Peabody, Bishop Fenwick, because of some egregious violations and misleading MIAA officials when it comes to the waiver process. And the 6-page statement released by the MIAA last month really indicates that it's a pattern of...
Yeah, I mean, 2 years in a row, they kind of thumbed their nose at the waiver process. That's what...
Yeah. You know. Now, there's some... I came across a blog from an attorney, Laura E. Gillis, about this, and she's out of Topsfield in Lexington. And she feels, or her firm feels at least, that there really is no avenue to appeal penalties like this when it comes to a breach of Rule 87.6, which is accountability under that waiver process. And they definitely took the most severe punishment. But this attorney seems like there's no formal manner through the MIA anyway to appeal this. Now, they could file in the courts, right, pursue an injunction on the enforcement of the ban through the court system. They can contest the legitimacy of the penalty handled down, which I'm reading from the blog. And but, you know, is that the way to go? She says that the court will look at, you know, the likelihood for success on the merits of their case. So they might not even take it up if they went through the courts. So I don't know. I think you're going to see, Nick, parents start to try to take action here with, I don't know what avenue they could, they could possibly pursue individual lawsuits, you know, denying my child the, and listen, let's not forget, these are paying parents.
Yeah.
Okay. They paid. They paid these kids to go to Bishop Fenwick, so they're not getting the money's worth if they can't play in the postseason.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's. It's still kind of a sticky situation. We'll see what happens on August 8th. But I don't know. I know Austin Prep in the past, you know, tried to get an injunction against the MIAA. I'm not sure the exact circumstances, but the MIAA won. I believe the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court, basically kind of similar to how they ruled in the Roger Goodell, Tom Brady case. You know, the MIAA is the power that be and can hand out punishments how it pleases.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if this, I'm sure the circumstances are not the same in this case, but so I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm looking at, again, going back to Laura E. Gillis's blog. She talks about another school that went through a similar path. Looks like, so the argument emerges that while it would be reasonable for the MIAA to sanction Bishop Fenwick's administrators or individual athletes implicated in prior violations, the ban of its entire athletic program from participating in postseason play exceeds what a reasonable punishment looks like. She's talking about the, she's not her opinion. She's talking about the argument that could emerge. The court would look at evidence provided by the MIA in its issuance of the ban to determine whether it supports the decision to deprive all Bishop Fenwick athletes, about 80% of the student population, with the opportunity to play in the postseason. This argument would be furthered if reports that the MIA chose to not ban Wachusett Regional High School's athletic program from postseason play after being faced with similar allegations to Fenwick. So there might be a precedent.
Well, Wachusett supposedly took accountability. So rule 87.6 was not in effect. They probably said, we messed up on this waiver, where Bishop Fenwick clearly still hasn't said that.
That's all they had to do was just say, sorry, our fault.
I think so. And they did twice. I mean, last year, of course, when we found out more information on that, you know, incident last year where they had to forfeit a few baseball games, you know, where they got the complaint from the parent that they were playing a seventh grader, the MIAA contacted Fenwick and said, you know, is this true? You're playing a seventh grader. You have to file a waiver for that. And they said, no, we're good. We're all good. And then the seventh grader kept playing in games. So yeah, they kind of just ignored the process and then had to come back a year later and do it again. You know,
geez, if this comes down to them just not accepting accountability, you know, I mean, now it sounds like a husband and wife fight, you know. I mean, I'm just trying. I accept accountability, even if it's not my fault. Mm-hmm. I just want the argument to end.
Yeah,
you know, I want to move on with my life. Hopefully, Bishop Fenwick is not a stubborn spouse that wants to win the argument and just goes on and on and on. Well, we shall see. It's not a fun conversation, but a healthy one in terms of you know, looking forward, and I, you know for sure that the entire state of Massachusetts under the MIA jurisdiction is having a flawless waiver process going forward. They know they're watching.
I thought for years the MIA should have cleaned up its waiver process.
Yeah.
Now it seems like they are.
Yeah.
You know, was it a harsh punishment? Of course. But I don't think anyone's going to be fudging any waivers this year.
Yeah. To me, waivers are really, really there for like just the kid who had a broken leg, you know, who wants to play that fifth year or something. Mm-hmm. And they were in eighth grade when they, and then they came in as a freshman, broke the, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, or
circumstances.
Or how about a family that had to move because of their job, the parents' job, and they want to just continue playing high school at the next school?
Yeah.
You know, that should be a waiver, things like that.
Yes, exactly.
You know, to try to bring up this hot shot seventh grader doesn't sound like a good process or situation.
Especially at a school like that, that offers multiple levels, offers sub-varsity levels.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, this isn't like Rockport, who needs seventh and eighth graders sometimes to fill out a starting lineup.
Yeah, exactly. Because they don't have a sub varsity. Their school's so small. The middle school and the high school are in the same building.
Yeah. Yeah. So we hear that all the time covering Little Cape Ann. So, all right, well, let's call it a show. We will continue to follow the story. If whatever comes out of that meeting, we shall see on Tuesday, August 8th. Might be a little too late for us deadline wise, but we'll see what's going on that day. Maybe someone's, maybe they let Danny V attend it in the executive session, and we'll follow Danny V's tweets. Okay, all set, Nick?
Yes.
All right, have a good one, everyone. We'll see you next week, msonewsports.com.